Hello, everybody. This is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business. And I'm in conversation with Nimmo Basi, who has been a recipient of the Rafto Prize. He's a prominent environmental activist and poet out of Niger Delta. And we are going to talk about the lack of remedy with extractive sector around the world, but focusing, of course, on Nigeria and Africa. Nimmo, that is a recurring problem since, of course, Kent Saro-Wiwa, but the story, of course, goes much further than that.
Yes, definitely, Salil. His environmental rights and justice are very critical issues for us in Nigeria, in Africa, and really all over the world. And this is mainly because our lives depend so directly on the environment. We need clean air, we need clean water, we need clean soils to grow our crops. So when an extractive sector negatively impact any of this, it means direct challenge to our health. And when our health is challenged, it means direct challenge also to our lives. This is why in a place like the Niger Delta, where oil is extracted, has the lowest life expectancy. And because of the levels of pollution and impunity from the oil sector, both by the transnational oil corporations and the local Nigerian oil companies.
Now, you often talked about the lawsuits that have been tried in the past, and they're all in the civil jurisdiction, all involving large multinational companies such as Chevron and Shell, tried in the US and the Netherlands. So how can that kind of a remedy be actually exercised? Because clearly, in some cases, these cases ought to be tried in Nigeria itself, because that's where the abuses have occurred.
There are hundreds of cases in Nigerian courts against oil companies, but these ones don't make the headlines. And that is because they are below the radar when it comes to international media. Mm-hmm. But again, the local jurisdiction is such that when cases go to the court, they can drag on technicalities for ages. There's a particular case where Ijaw Aborigines went to the National Assembly to complain about the destruction of the environment for decades by Shell, and they demanded for compensation amounting to billions of naira. Mm-hmm. Then the National Assembly, which is the Senate, actually agreed that yes, it's right that the people have a case and that Shell should pay. And then, of course, the oil corporation said, well, the national legislature don't have any right to impose any penalty on them. They are not the law court, that the people should go to the law court. So the people went to court, and the court gave the same order. And now a series of appeals going on. The corporations are never ready to accept defeat. They don't ever want to be said to be guilty of anything. Mm-hmm. It's like a mandate that they may have maybe from their shareholders or whatever, that should never admit that they've done anything wrong. Even when communities and individuals take them to court in Europe and North America, you find that some of the cases where there's been a decision, even because the corporation decided to settle out of court.
Without admitting
guilt,
they never
want to admit guilt.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. If they don't admit guilt, it's very unlikely that they're going to change their behavior. So what I believe, like Kent Saro-Wiwa said, that one day they will have their stand in the dock. They should not only have their stand in the dock, they should be found guilty and compelled to pay up because they are found guilty. There was a case locally in 2005 where Shell was sued by a Iwerekan community in the Delta State of the Niger Delta for gas flaring, and it was the prayers of the plaintiffs was that it should be declared that it's against their human rights, and that of course they should stop the flaring. Within a few months, that case was settled. The court agreed that gas flaring was against the human rights of the people, and Shell should stop, or at least show a plan about how they're going to stop. Now they've raised technicalities, they've not stopped the flaring, and they just continue to live above the law. This is the challenge, yes.
So I want to talk about the regional mechanism, because the African Commission did at one point have a judgment against Shell in the Niger Delta case some years ago. So I'm just wondering whether if the Nigerian system doesn't provide redress, and if the American courts are not listening to the cases in the end, as it happened with the Kiobel case, do you think the African mechanism has some hope?
The African mechanism gives Nigerians and Africans opportunities to find legal basis for redress and for demanding human rights and environmental rights, because many of our constitutions and laws don't really have the plans on which communities can, individuals can seek redress. So for that is very good. But the African Human Rights Court and so on most times they make the judgment, but there are no clear mechanisms for enforcement. So that is the problem. But mm-hmm. it takes public impact and decision making is very useful for advocacy, useful for at least placing judgment where they ought to be. And it makes a big difference for the people.
So my final question is about this talk about a binding treaty that people are speaking about, that a kind of international instrument which would actually have a binding treaty.
Yes, of course, there are so many treaties that are flouted by parties that ought to obey them, but a seriously legally binding treaty would be difficult to arrive at, but if it's ever agreed and arrived at, it would be a useful tool for global governance so that no corporation would commit environmental misbehavior in one far off territory, then run off to mm-hmm. hide somewhere else. So that would be a clear cut mechanism for halting this kind of rampant misbehavior that we're seeing around the world. But of course, there's some drawbacks about who would enforce it and which countries and which corporation would decide to be rogue corporations above the law. But you know, as a mechanism of giving the people tools by which to challenge the behaviors of corporations, a binding treaty would be very useful. Right now we have many voluntary principles, and they're just treated as voluntary principles. Corporations are known not to even obey their own laws and their own rules and their own standards. So it's really a big challenge. Whatever tools people can have, that is something that should be welcomed.
Thank you, and wish you all the very best with your work.